Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 13, and we're going to expound verses 28 through 37 and conclude chapter 13. Allow me now to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful evening of worship and praise. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Watch and Pray. Watch and pray. As we conclude this chapter, we're going to see some interesting insights. And remember, this is a continuation from what we taught on Sunday. And all this is taking place on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus has his disciples gathered around him. And he's giving them a prophetic insight on what's about to take place then and what's soon to take place in our generation. How many believe that we are the last generation here, according to God's word? And we do see the signs. Oh my gosh. We see right now our nation, how devastating the culture has become. Just before I left, there were 6 police officers shot and 100 rounds of ammunition shot from on top of a building in Philadelphia. It's almost like every city right now in our nation has gone berserk. It's like, where is God in all this? Where is conviction of good and evil? Well, the Bible tells us in the last days that good would be called evil and evil good. And so we want to look at these passages of Scripture tonight, and we're going to allow God to have his way tonight, and hopefully God, through the Holy Spirit, will give us some insight on these final scriptures in chapter 13. So it reads in verse 28, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors." We're going to look at this scripture a little closer. Verse 30. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And we're talking about the day of the Lord. Verse 33, "Take heed, watch and pray." This is where I got my topic tonight. Jesus is saying, watch and pray. God is calling the church to watch and pray. Can I get amen? Amen. "For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." Verse 35, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all," in verse 37, "watch." So that is the ending of chapter 13. So let's go back to verse 28 and let's break this down. Can I get amen? Amen. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Saints, in the form of a parable, Jesus answered the disciples' question and regarding when the events he spoke about would happen. So far in the lengthy discourse, they call it the Olivet Discourse, meaning because it took place on the Mount of Olives. And for those of you, we were all privileged about a year and a half ago to go to Israel. Sister Rachel has been there many times. And when you're on top of the Mount of Olives, you could see the Temple Mount, the Kidron Valleys down below. So just kind of like take it in for a moment that Jesus is on top of the Mount of Olives. They were probably under olive trees looking at the temple. And he's prophesying. He's sharing with them the things that would take place in the near future during that time, but also in a later generation that would come, which would be, I believe, in our time. And so Jesus had traced two key themes. Actually, there were three. Number one is the disciples' suffering. Remember, we spoke about it last week, that they would suffer. Now, no one wants to hear the word suffer. I know I don't. I don't think none of us in here love suffering. Can I get amen? We always want to be gleeful and joyful and full of joy, and our bodies don't ache and they don't quiver and shake and all those other things, right? But Jesus warned the disciples that they would suffer. And we read last week and the prior week that some of them were killed. Remember, Stephen was stoned to death, and Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus at the time, he held on to his coat and watched him get pummeled to death. Then we read that James, a sword was thrust right at him by King Herod and his henchmen. And so one by one, the disciples were being persecuted unto death. My question for us tonight is, if persecution becomes radical persecution, are you prepared to meet the King? Because it happened then, and according to the Word of God, things come back around and repeat itself. So, also, not only the disciples would suffer, but he was saying their need to be watchful. They needed to be watchful. They needed to see these things occur. You and I. Let me ask this question, saints. When you were about 5, 6, 7 years old, let's go back. Some of you are 20 years apart, maybe 30 years apart from one another here tonight. But go back when you were 6 and 7, when you could ride your bikes in the street at 9 o'clock and not worry about someone abducting you and taking you, and someone that was murdered, it would be big news. Everyone would be like, wow. And now it happens by the groves every day. Something has happened. Something has shifted. And we're seeing a darkness that's coming upon this nation like no other time in the history of this nation. This is why Jesus said, we that are the called out church, blood washed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit, God is calling his church now to watch and pray. Why? Because things are coming quickly now. I preached last Sunday that time has now condensed. I believe God is shortening the days. Remember when we were children, days were a long time. One day was a long time. Now, as soon as you go home, you wake up, that day will come and it will be all over in a matter of moments. Because time is speeding up. I believe we're coming to a conclusion in world history. And Jesus spoke about these things. But then he also told them that eternal life would soon come. At that time, when he was with his disciples, and prior, let's go back 4,000 years. So far, since Genesis, since creation, it's been 6,000 years. But during the times that we're reading now, it was 4,000 years. There was not eternal life. So this is why we're going to have to look at the fig tree. And I know a lot have correlated that with the rebuilding of Israel. That has partial truth to it. But we're going to see a deeper truth to that in a few moments. And so the disciples, like anyone living in Palestine, knew how to interpret the coming of summer from the buds and the leaves of the fig trees. The fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy would assure the disciples that the other prophecies he had given regarding the end times would also come true. Let me ask you this question. Has God ever lied to us? The Bible's clear. He's not a man that could lie like us. He's holy, he's righteous, and he's full of truth. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many are so blessed that when we receive Jesus, the Spirit of God came in us and he imputed his righteousness upon us. Now we can stand before a holy God and God doesn't see our sin no more. Man, how does that happen? By faith. By faith. It's a miracle that could take place. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin. But what it lets us know that when we do fail God, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why 1 John says, my little children, if you do sin, confess your sin. Why? Because he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, God made provision at the cross for his kids, for us. He knew that we weren't going to live a perfect life. He knew that we would make mistakes even after salvation. But the eternal aspect, the eternal glory, he has already situated that because he wrote our names in the book of life. Aren't you so blessed to know that my goodness, if tonight or today is my last moment here on earth, I'm going to be with him. That's our assurance. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that he has sealed your fate? Your fate is with him. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb. And guess what? We didn't have to pay for it. He paid for it all on the cross. Thank you, God. It's not what we've done, it's what he has done for us. Thank you, God. So, look how Timothy brings this out in 1 Timothy. Look at this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save the righteous? To save the wealthy? To save who? Man. I think we're all included in that bunch, aren't we? Of whom, now, Paul the Apostle said, whom I am chief. Why did Paul the Apostle say, I am chief sinner? Because he did some atrocious things. He persecuted the church. He was the original drive-by. They would abduct and apprehend, and they would do house invasions and murdered the born-again believers. And he thought he was doing a favor for God. But see, God took that same zeal and flipped his heart. And did you know that Paul, he didn't get saved at a church. He didn't get saved at a evangelistic outreach. He was on his horse going to Damascus to kill more saints. And God interrupted. God knocked him off his beast. I like to look at it like this. You and I were on our beast as well, and he knocked us off our horse. If God did not interrupt us, we would continue to live in sin. But he came and knocked us off our beast. He called us. He enabled us. He quickened us that we would see him at the cross. Wow. Look at this. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe. Did you catch that? That we're going to believe. Meaning 2,000 years later, God knew that we would come into the saving knowledge, that we would believe. Did you catch that? Amen. It wasn't for them, it was for us too. Look at this. However, for this reason I obtain mercy that in the first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So when he was up there on the Mount of Olives, he's telling his disciples, the sign of the fig tree is the sign that you know summer's coming. Well, he was basically telling them, it's real short now. It's within days that I have to be crucified on the cross. But because of that, I will bring forth salvation. Look at that. Now to the kingdom eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and amen. So, this was a pivotal moment for the apostles and the disciples that were with Jesus when they were up there on the Mount of Olives. Because he was telling them, basically, that eternal life was about to come. Everything that the forefathers and the prophets had prophesied, that it was culminating to that moment now. Days away from being mocked and scourged and whipped and crucified for their sins and for our sins. Isn't that amazing? You see, it's outlined in the book of John why Jesus had to come. Let me just say, God had to do anything for us. We had already disgraced ourselves in the garden. And so since the fall of the garden, we have inherited this Adamic nature from Adam and Eve. And so there was nothing we could do to save ourselves. There was nothing we could do to cleanse ourselves. But yet God still loved us. What? He still loved you and he knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He already knew you. This is the mind of God. This is the heart of God. This is why we have a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you have done in your past. I don't care what experiences. Some of you might have had some atrocious upbringings as a child and then as a young adult and maybe many relationships and marriages, whatever you want to call it. God erases it all at the cross. Aren't you so blessed? This is what John said. Look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? This is a moment in time when Jesus had that dialogue with the apostle John. He was telling all of them what was about to take place and why he had to come. You got to remember, he had to come from heaven to pierce the darkness of this world. Why? Who is the ruler of this world? Satan. So guess what? Jesus came anyways. You know why? Because he created that diabolical angel. He did. You know what? No forces in darkness is going to stop me from coming to save them. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Look at this. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That statement right there lets us know this, that before Jesus arrived, the world was already condemned. It was going to hell in a handbasket. But Jesus came to save us from our sin. Isn't that something? When we were born into this world, we were dead men marching. We were marching to our execution. We were all on death row. Can I get an amen? Amen. All of us were on death row. Jesus came to set us free. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. And it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. God is painting a picture of the condition of man's heart. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, King David said. We were conceived in sin. But God still found a way through his miraculous love to save you and I. Man, I'm telling you, when you understand the depths of God's love, you will leave tonight saying, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Because no one in this world can save us. Can I get an amen? Look at this. It says right here, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. You know what blesses my soul? Each and every one of you. You guys are here drawn to the light because you love the light. You love God's word. You love him. He lives inside you. Just imagine if you weren't born again and saved, you would have no part of this study tonight. You'd be out there doing your own thing. Look at this. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. How many are so blessed to know that God has done a mighty thing in our life? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's go now to verse 30 in the book of Mark. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means passes away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. Listen. It is one thing that's very clear. The world that we see today, in years to come, we don't know how soon, we don't know how long this is going to be. It could be after the millennial reign. One thing's clear, that God's going to renovate this whole entire earth. It's not going to look like it. Matter of fact, Revelation said there will be no more sea. So you better enjoy your sushi right now. Yeah, all that is gone. There, no more seed, Bible says. So, saints, there are three views of the meaning of this verse. Let's look at this. Number one, it refers only to those alive at this time who would be alive also at the destruction of Jerusalem. That's one view. Secondly, it refers to the end times only. But we know, because we've read the story, that destruction took place just days. It was 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. And so, we also know that the abomination and the desolation and the third temple is still yet to be built. And when you go to Israel, they have everything ready, prepared. Watch real careful on this new deal that Trump and his son-in-law has constructed. That could, I'm not saying it is, that could be the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Be careful. Be watching. Bible says to pray and what? Watch. Watch. Thirdly, it refers both to the destruction of Jerusalem and the end times. So look at this, saints. Jesus singled out this generation using the Greek word genia, which can refer both to those living at a given time, as well as to race or lineage. Therefore, he was speaking of the Jewish people at that time. But there's also a latter time, and that's what's going to take place, and I believe in our generation. And so, the third view above, most likely, is the destruction that we already know that took place 70 AD, and also the tribulation that is yet to come. Remember last week we talked about the great tribulation. It's going to be a tribulation that no one has ever seen in the history of the world, and there's not going to be one like that. What could that be? My personal opinion, it's a nuclear holocaust. Bombs are going to be set off. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, over 3 billion people will be killed during the great tribulation. This is ahead of us right now. That hasn't happened yet. This is why we need to watch and pray. Amen? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Because when God is ready to renovate this planet, he tells us how he's going to do it. Where do we read that at? How heaven and earth will pass away. He just told his disciples. We just read it, right? So one of the disciples took it a step further. And let's read it in 2 Peter. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. So this was prophesied. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For 2,000 years, they're saying, yeah, right, Jesus is coming. But God said in his word that there would be scoffers right before he comes. They're going to say, you know, you talk to people, yeah, right. You're just one of those religious freaks. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, meaning the prophets, the kings, the Old Testament saints, their bodies are in the grave still. That's what that means, that since they fell asleep. Look at this. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. So in other words, nothing's happening. You guys are all, man, just religious. Look at verse 5. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. He's talking about Noah's day, because it was so evil that God had to repent for making man. You think the pornography and the drugs and right now the mass murders were atrocious? It was so atrocious then that God had to flood the earth. But this time, it's not going to be a flood. He's going to renovate the earth with fire. Look at this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You see, no one's getting away with nothing. These mass murderers and these sex fiends, these traffickers, these people that are abducting young girls, this Jeffrey Epstein who had this trafficking ring for many years. He met his own demise already. But all these innocent young kids that were abducted and perpetrated and they were raped and molested. They're perdition of ungodly men. Look at this. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, God says, I don't forget nothing. What happened 3,000 years ago, God still remembers. What happened just 15 minutes ago, God still remembers. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Meaning, yeah, right, he's coming. Yeah, man, this preacher is just talking out the side of his neck. Uh-huh. Look at this. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. This is God in his long-suffering. He is patient with sinners. He's wooing them right now all around the world to get saved because he's about to come. So for 2,000 years, God's poured out his grace upon this world. But there is a closing of time. There's closure. There's going to be an end game. Look at this. That no one should perish, but all come to repentance. But look at verse 10 now. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? It's not going to be a flood. God's going to renovate this whole earth by fire. And he's not going to do it with earth, wind, and fire. For you old school buffs. Look at this. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, here's the question for us now. Because we remember tonight's message, watch and what? Wash and pray. Watch and pray. So look at this. It continues in this passage of scripture. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, meaning God's going to renovate the earth, until that time happens, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct, in godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Once again, I'm just the mailman passing the letters to you. This ain't my perspective. God wrote it. So let me ask you this. Has he melted the earth yet? No. He's flooded it. And so God is long-suffering from Noah's day to our day now. And look at all the atrocious things throughout the history since that moment. Man's heart got more wicked, got more darker. So God has to come in and renovate it. It's his righteous nature that will do it. It's his justice, because he's a righteous God, a holy God. Look at this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Can I get an amen? So this is our long desire. Oh God, do renovate this that we can live righteous and holy with you. We won't have this sin nature. We won't have these ungodly thoughts. We won't be tempted by sin anymore. And the devil will be incarcerated. Oh, slew foot. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, now God is saying, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. This is why he hasn't brought judgment yet, because he's patient with man. But time is going to run out. Is it going to happen in our generation? I see the signs. But I'm not going to give a date, because we don't give dates. We see the seasons, just like Jesus told him. When you see the fig tree and the leaves are blooming, you know summer's here. So Jesus said that this generation would be a perverse generation. And it's ungodly. Come on. There's nothing good and wholesome on TV no more. Is there? You turn on a sitcom, it's hairy and scary. It's Betty Boo and Hoodoo Doo. Come on, when we were kids, there was no perverse things on the air, were they? No. Now they want to shove it down your throat and say, it's okay now. No, it's not okay. Amen. God told us to live holy and righteous before him. Can I get amen? This is not about a political thing, being right or left. No, this is a spiritual thing. You either get right with God or get left behind. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 15, and account that long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written what? To you. He has written to us. Praise God. See, God kept his word intact for us to hear his word today. That's God's grace. That's God's love. That we would hear his word and our faith be lifted up, and that we wouldn't have to hang our heads like this. No, because he's going to soon come and he's going to make all things beautiful for you and I. Because we are his called. We are his chosen. We are his beloved. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Let's go now back to verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and what? Pray. Watch all these things that are taking place around the world, and pray. Pray for people to be saved. Pray that your faith will contend to the end, that you would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that God did? Okay, I'm coming this Friday at 5:45. You know what some people will do? They'll probably want to get their last sin in. Hello? Oh, come on. He's coming in. I got to get this now. Saints, while Jesus had given general signs to observe regarding the coming of the end, he clearly explained to the disciples that the exact day or hour was not known by the angels or the Son or even himself. When Jesus said that even he did not know the time of the end, he was affirming his humanity. You got to remember, he was 100% God and he was 100% man. He was the God-man. He did all the miracles. And guess what? Even if he knew the time that his father, he wouldn't squawk it out. He would have just kept shut. But it's not for us to know. You know why it's not for us to know? Because it's for us to be ready. Ready every moment. Can I get amen? He could come anytime. Thank you, God. But look how Philippians explains this situation on who God was, on who Jesus is, and that he was 100% man, 100% God. And there were some things that he could not convey to us. He couldn't disclose some things. Because you know why? We wouldn't be able to handle it. Once again, if we knew he was coming at 5:45 p.m. Friday, man, some of us would be pulling out our hair. Oh, I don't got no more to pull out, so. Philippians 2:5, look at this. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery and equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Jesus came to serve us as a bondservant. Look at that. And coming in the likeness of men. So he came like an ordinary man. He was conceived in his mother's womb. He was a child, became a teenager, became a young adult, and started his ministry at the age of 30. And he looked like a normal human being. But you know what the difference was? There was not one iota of sin in him. Listen, if he had any sin, our sin today still remains. He was the sinless Savior. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank God. Look at this. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself and came to the cross to die for you and die for me. This is why I love him. This is why I adore him. This is why I glorify him and I magnify him. And wherever I go, I proclaim him. Why? Because he saved me from a pit of hell. When he rescued me, I had $500 worth of crystal meth in my sock, and I was just drugged up and wound up and all these things. And he delivered me in a moment of time. That's the power of God. Saints, of course, God the Father knows the time. He does know the time. And Jesus and the Father are one. But when Jesus became a man, he voluntarily gave up the unlimited things to disclose to the disciples. He's not going to give those things away, whether he knew them or not. Thank you, God. On earth, Jesus laid aside his divine prerogatives and submitted to the Father's will. Aren't you so blessed that he was obedient to his Father? Just imagine if he said, man, I ain't going to that cross. Send someone else. And yet when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did say to his Father, is there another way? But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Saints, our challenge tonight is, are we going to do the Father's will? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know why? Because when you come to a conclusion that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, the Bible says that all the Old Testament laws, including the Ten Commandments, all hinge on those two. Because here's how it works. If you love the Lord thy God, guess what? Now you'll love to obey him. It's not rules and regulations. It's not do's and don'ts. Man, if I were to give you these do's and don'ts and says, here, take this, and you got to live like that now. You're going to, wait a minute. But when you love God, you're not going to look at it as rules and regulations. You're going to do it because you love him. You adore him, and you don't want to break his heart. For those of you that are married that love your spouse, the last thing you want to do is hurt them, ridicule them, talk vulgar language toward them. You don't want to do that, do you? No, you want to love your wife. You want to love your husband. You want to love your children, your grandchildren. You want to love your parents. Well, when you love God, you'll learn to love the things of God and become that brother and sister in Christ. You'll be that soldier of God. Can I get an amen? So he became obedient even to the death. Man, on the cross. It is God, the Father's secret, to be revealed when he will, saints. Jesus was preparing his disciples for the persecution that was coming. I'm praying that God will prepare our hearts to what's coming. We already see the evil in our day today. It's not like it was when we were children, huh? Or a child. It was nothing like it. So let's look at these few verses and we close. In verse 34 in chapter 13 of Mark. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, in verse 35, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest something suddenly he find you sleeping. You know, I thought that when he said he finds you sleeping, it's not the kind of sleep that we're taking a nap, it's in the evening and we're going to bed and we sleep until the morning. You know what that sleeping really means? That we're asleep to the things of God and his soon return. In other words, we're distracted. Our minds are not focused on him coming. We're caught up in the culture. We're caught up in everything else other than he's coming soon. That's the type of sleep. It's almost like we're intoxicated. When you go to the dentist, for some of you, you love the needles to numb the mouth. But for some, if they have to do extensive things to your teeth, they will put the knockout gas on you. And some of us are knocked out. We're like, and we don't realize the time that we're living in. God is saying, be awake. Watch. Watch praying. In this parable of watchfulness, Jesus described himself as a man who left home to go on a trip, and Jesus would be returning to heaven. The disciples are the employees left behind to carry on their work. The gatekeeper is commanded to keep watch for the master's return. The employees understood that they are in charge of themselves, had their own work to do, and would not want the homeowner to return suddenly and found them being lazy, because they do not know when the homeowner will return. These employees must keep a sharp lookout so that not as to be found sleeping. Now, here's what I love about God's word. You and I can honestly say, we here, especially here at Amazing Grace, I truly believe we know the time that we're living in. We know that we're living in these times of the end. And you know why? Because God's word confirms it. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians right up here. Look what it says. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, he's going to come as a thief in the night to the world. But look at the encouragement for us. Look at this. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, say that with me. You, brethren, are not in darkness. Look at this. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. When Jesus comes, we know he's coming. We're looking for him. He's not going to come to us like a thief. Are you catching this? Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light. Look at that. And sons of the day. Meaning, when we gave our heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And now the light of the world lives inside of us. So we're not in darkness. Can I get an amen? This is God's grace. This is his mercy. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Aren't you so blessed that you're not out there smoking and chewing and hanging out that are doing? Come on, God delivered us from that lifestyle, didn't he? And when we get tempted, we have the conviction now. So, oh no, I'm not going to put my eyes on that evil. Can I get amen? And when that temptation is so rough, call upon the name of the Lord right there. Say, Jesus, I need you right now. He will send his angels and protect you. Yes, he will. He don't want you to fall in sin and run away from him. Because most people that fall in sin, they run away. They run. God is saying, don't run from me when you sin. Run to me. And I will cleanse you and wash you and purify your heart through your confession of faith. But look at this. We are not what? We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Hallelujah. I was just saying that. We're not talking about taking a nap or going to bed. In other words, do not be drunk in this world as others do, but let us watch and be sober. It's not talking about intoxicated of drink. It's being intoxicated of this world, of this culture, the lies. The lies. Sister Sonia was here Sunday. She left for those who want to be on a call. You know what that call was for Tuesday? Is they're trying to get a petition to stop the transgenders from coming into the schoolhouse and teaching our children ungodly things. This is how far the darkness has penetrated our land. We're not to be drunk in those things. We got to call out sin for what it is. Can I get an amen? I always say it like this, and I say it in a facetious way, but that's just me. But for these third bathroom folks, if they don't know who they are, just go into the restroom and drop the drawers and look down. That's who you are. And if you're still confused, you need to be delivered. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, drunk at night. But let us who are of the day, that's us, because we have the Holy Ghost living inside us. Let us be what? Sober. Put in the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope and salvation. We need to be the hope of the world. Can I get amen? We need to tell men and women to repent. God is coming. God loves you, but you need to repent. You can't just say, oh, God loves and he understands. No, if that person's in sin, they need to repent. Can I get an amen? We had to. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope and salvation. For God did not appoint us. Aren't you so blessed? We're the children of the light. He did not appoint us to wrath. Thank you. So when God comes with judgment, he's taking us out of here. We're not appointed to wrath. Sinners are. Unbelievers are. People that want to still wallow in their sin. They're the ones that are going to be in that number. They're going to be under the wrath of God. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Saints, time's running out. We got to tell people the truth. Listen, I know it. Sometimes it cuts to the, it cuts. But you know what? I'd rather tell someone that is in a type of sin that's an abomination of God. I'd rather tell them the truth in love and tell them that they need to repent. Because if I just walk by and I don't say anything, and I know their blood is on your hands. And we will give an account because we know the truth. Jesus' followers were not to be found spiritually taxed, but instead consciously going about the work given by God for them to do. God has appointed us. How many of you can honestly say that you have God's AAA card. You know what that AAA is? Appointed, approved, and what's the third one? Anointed. Come on! That's right. We got our AAA card. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God. And our last verse of scripture as we close out this chapter is, and what I say to you, I say to all, what? Watch. Now listen, when you share the love of God with someone, you're not judging them. God's word already judged them. You're sharing the love of God so that you're pulling them out of the fire. You should never want someone to go into sin and go into hell. Man, that our heart should break like God's. To help them. But we got to speak truth and love. Can I get amen? Saints, Jesus had spoken this discourse to only four of his disciples that were on top of that hill. He instructed them to carry these words to the rest of the disciples, for their truth was of vital importance. For us who know the truth, it is vital importance that we share it wherever we go. Can I get amen? Even today, we do well to watch for his return, watching out for false teaching and watching it expectantly for Christ's return as we do his work for the Lord. And I close with these verses here, and then we'll pray. But in Luke, it says, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the Lord. I'm talking about those who are not even looking for God. It's going to come like a snare. In other words, curtain call, it's all over. And there is no place to run. There's no place to hide when God's ready to judge. Look at this. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy. To what? To escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Meaning we all, you and I, we're going to stand before God. Yes, we're saved, but we're still going to stand and give an account. Especially after we became saved. He's going to say, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? Remember we talked about a while back about the talents? Some he gave 10, some he gave 5. And man, we do not want to be the ones that buried our head in the sand and didn't say anything to no one. I'm saved, sanctified. That's all I need to know. Come on. God's called us to preach, to teach, to share, to sow. Why? Because, okay, I'm going to the creepy book where most churches will not read out of. Oh man, you know your words, sister. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he who has 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. But you know what? Just because they got all this going on, and, you know, and they got the fog machines and the candles and you know, the best worship leaders. Man, he's going to judge every church. He says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. What? Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. This is a stark warning for us, huh? Amen. Look at this. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Let us be part of that number. Can I get amen? that we're walking worthy before God, that when we do sin in our mind and our body, that we would repent right away, that we would say, God, forgive me for saying this, for seeing this, for doing this, and never run away from God. Look at this. And that they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot. Oh, my gosh. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You know what that lets me know? That he can remove your name. Did you catch that? That I will not blot your name out. That means he'll take his eraser, and your name won't be found in there. My. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is how you want to stand. This is how I want to stand before a holy God. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Wow. This is a serious matter. This is just not a Wednesday night Bible study. No, God had brought this message for us for now. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm always praying that. He that has an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I know we could go on longer, but thank you, Lord. Thank you for this study. Lord, for whatever I deliver is delivered on my lap too. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen me. Help me, God. Help me walk worthy. That I would be counted faithful unto thee. I pray for the saints that have pressed out tonight. Lord, there was a whole lot to digest tonight, but God, one thing is certain. You flooded the earth in Noah's day, and you're going to burn this place up with fire because you need to do a new thing. God, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us. Strengthen us. Help us. Lord, when we get tempted, oh God, shield our heart, shield our mind. Let us call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you always make a way of escape for us. But I'm also praying for those who are listening right now to this message, and they've either were given this message to someone by faith, or they stumbled on. You stumbled on to this website. And maybe you never given your heart to Jesus. I'm praying that God would quicken you, that God would give you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. We want to pray with you, but just know one thing. It's not a mystical or magical prayer. Prayer is just a tool that God has given mankind to communicate with the holy God in heaven. I pray for those that are earnestly in seeking it, God, that you are enabling them to hear you. Lord, that they would cry out, oh God, save me, for I have sinned. And if that's you, we want to pray with you. It's a simple prayer, but let it come from your innermost being. Let it not be a cliche prayer, but a meaningful, heartfelt prayer that you're truly sorrowful for your sins and that you're crying out to God right now to forgive you. And if that's you, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Man, I'm telling you, as I was preaching this message, God was speaking loud and clear to me. And you know what he was saying to me? He was saying, you know what? Keep your eyes on me.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.